It would be a good opportunity for us to do a two-part series on our confrontation with Amalek. What I want to try to do today is discuss the mitzvos of Amalek, in particular the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, mostly from a halachic point of view, but also a little bit from the hashkafic point of view. You'll see that they're sort of hard to separate from a certain standpoint. On Wednesday, talk about Purim and the mitzvos hayom, really ranging from Megillah, Shalach Manos, Matanos Avionim in particular, as we'll see, is very clearly a response to Amalek. That won't make much sense now, but on Wednesday, I hope it does make sense. But let's begin with, you know, the topic in its own right. The story of Amalek occurs, as we know, we just read it in Parshas B'Shalach, and then there's this reiteration or recapitulation of some of the critical details, you know, in Kiseitze, what we call Parsha Zachor, which is, you know, coming up very much. There's actually a very important discussion amongst the poskim, you know, the Magen Avraham, you know, and others had a very significant debate about whether, you know, for purposes of Parsha Zachor, when could it be Yotze with the Parsha B'Shalach? Let's say you couldn't make it to Shul on Shabbos, for whatever reason, and then you show up to hear the Megillah, Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachem im Yisrael, Berifidim, right? And so you would think, all right, this is, you know, maybe the best of all worlds. You're reading the original battle. What better? Ein lecha zechira gedola mizo. But a number of the poskim point out, the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, chief amongst them, that, you know, the Magen Avraham's contention is, you know, very, very far from obvious. And that is for the reason that if you look, there's a very significant distinction between the two parshios that I'd like to discuss at length today. And this is really rooted in observations that were made, as I'm going to try to argue, both by the Rambam as well as the Ramban, that, you know, it's Parsha Zachor and Kiseitze where what, you know, the historical events of the attack of Amalek is linked to a chi of Mechia, right? Timcha es Zecher Amalek mitachas Hashamayim, whereas in Bishalach, what we have is Kimacho Emcha. It doesn't actually spell out, you know, any obligation on the part of Klal Yisrael. It just talks about like a divine war. And if we should assume that there's actually a connection between the mitzvah of Zechira and the mitzvah of Mechia, which is an assumption that many, many, many actually make, which is a very fascinating point, so then you could argue you're not really Yotze, the mitzvah of Zachor, right? Mitzvah d'Arais of Zachor, Yisachar Asalacha Amalek, unless you're reading a parasha that contains a chiyuv of Mechia. Remember, this is the famous assumption of the Sefer Achinuch. Remember, the Sefer Achinuch says that he thinks that women, he's a Das Yachid on this, but that women aren't Mechuyavos in Parsha Zachor, right? So all of those extra readings are, you know, redundant, they're unnecessary to make it sure that women with young children can come to shul, because he says, why would women have to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek? The whole point of Zechira Samalek is for the sake of Mechia Samalek. And, you know, who's fighting the war? Well, clearly the men are the ones that are fighting the war, so why would women be mechuyavos in Zechira Samalek, leaving aside the fact that it's a mitzvah saseh shazmat grama? So this is a very, very controversial doctrine, the Sefer Achinuch, for many reasons. I'll just list one of them now, but it's a great entry point into our discussion because, you know, there is a Gemara in Sota. Sota isn't so far away for the Daf Yomi people, right? The Gemara at the very end of Sota talks about that in the Milchames Mitzvah, which includes Amalek L'chola Deos, we say that women are obligated in that war. Afilu chasan mechadro v'kala mechupasa. So much to be said about this. So after having given some of this, you know, introduction, let's take a look at the psukim, just to review them, and then we'll be off and running. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Ksov zos yikarim b'sefer v'sin b'osnei Yoshua, ki macho emcha zeicha Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. Again, that's the rejoinder of the Aruch HaShulchan to the Magen Avraham. It's not that you have to fight Amalek, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach, Vayikra Shemo Adonai Nisi, Vayomer Kiyad Al Kesya, Milchama L'Adonai B'Amalek Midor Dor. There's this, you know, confrontation between God and Amalek. It's not necessarily for us. Then you get to Sefer Dvarim, and Sefer Dvarim is singing a very different tune. Zachor es asher asal lecha Amalek b'derech b'tzeischem mimitzrayim asher korcha b'derech v'yizanev b'cha kol anechashalim acharecha v'ata yefi ageya v'lo yarei Elohim. There's a lot of ambiguity there. Who was the Lo Yarei Elokim, the Netziv very famously says, you were the ones who weren't Yarei Elokim, that's what made you vulnerable to Amalek. More on that on Wednesday. So who is charged with Mechias Amalek? Contra B'Shalach, who's responsible now? Klal Yisrael is responsible. Okay, so I'm going to take maybe more than one step back. Maybe like it's like three steps back. And share something of an esoteric source, but you'll see why I think this is so significant, hopefully in about 50 minutes from now. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the following. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is like wondering, you know, how did it happen that Amalek became our arch nemesis? So it goes all the way back to Sefer Bereishis and in the, you know, genealogy of Esav, very long, you know, Parsha that we have at the end of, you know, Parsha Svayishlach. Mi'as achos lotan timna maihi. You know, usually the women aren't included in the genealogy. Timna bas v'lachim havi b'ayli gure. She wanted to convert, whatever this means, prior to Maimon Har Sinai. Bosei tol Avram Yitzchak v'yako v'lo kiblua. So they ran a very, you know, tight, you know, gerus program, and she didn't meet the cut for whatever reason, and even though she really was sincere, she would have been an excellent candidate. Right, that's what it says in the genealogy, that Eliphaz ben Esav, you know, took a pilagesh of Timnah, and their child, their offspring, was Amalek. Right, he's a neched of Esav through Eliphaz, who was Bechor Esav, but, you know, by this pilagesh. Okay, so Amra, she calculated, Mutav te shivcha l'uma zo velo te kivira l'uma acheres. Even though she came from royal lineage, she wanted to be attached to Klal Yisrael, you know, in its inchoate phases, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So, you know, and she was rejected unfairly, the Gemara is saying. Nafak mina amalek tetzarinu l'Yisrael ma'itayma delo yibay l'hu l'rachka, because Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov acted wrongly, really, you know, in this Agada, Timna should have been accepted. So it's a very fascinating idea. Please just, you know, put this on the back burner for now, that Chazal, you know, in the Bavli, in Sanhedrin, ascribe our historical struggle with Amalek to a certain, you know, xenophobia or closed-mindedness on our part, that we weren't prepared to welcome somebody who really deserved to be welcome in the context of Gir. Again, this is a very esoteric source. I found that, you know, most people haven't been exposed to it, but I think it actually explains a lot going forward. So the Chinuch, in his presentation of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, if people have the Makoros, this happens to be the fourth source. So it says, Liskor mashasalanu Amalek, sheitztavinu liskor mashas Amalek v'Yisrael, shehischila hisgaros bam b'tseisam b'Yitzrayim, b'terem nasa goyim lacha yado aleihem. Okay, so the Sefer HaChinuch is emphasizing that this was a unique moment in world history, right, where the Giloy Shechina that was involved, you know, with the Makos and, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf was so profound, you know, in the Shiras Hayam, this point gets a lot of emphasis. Namogu kol yoshvei kanan, elei moav, yochazemu ra'ad, right, everybody was, you know, with a sense of Yira Shamayim, and Amalek came and they ruined that moment, right, they muddied the waters, even though, you know, as a famous mashal that Rashi uses, they jumped into the boiling bath. They got burned, but, you know, they cooled it down for everybody else. You know, the world could have been a very different place. So we have this, you know, idea that the Chinuch is projecting. Ushinich Kasov says later on in Sefer Bamidbar, we'll talk about it, in Parshas Balak, Reishis Goyim Amalek. V'targumo Reish Kravayat Yisrael Hava Amalek. They were the first ones to attack us. Shakol hayu yireyim mehem b'shamam ayarak dola sharasala lahem Hashem b'mitzrayim v'amalekim b'roa libam uv'mazgam ha'roa. Right, that says something endemic to their, you know, identity. Lo shasu libam b'chol zev yizgaru bam v'aviru misoch kach yirasam ha'gdola milev shara umos. It wasn't just bad for us, but it was like, you know, a spiritual catastrophe for the world. Uch'inin shemashul b'zeh rabu sam zichrona levracha mashul yore b'sacha. So we talked about Enkel bir yechol aleri lesocha v'echad v'kafatz v'yar lesocha aval pishen nichve, you know, hiker osa le'acherim, he caused it to cool down. V'al zechiras in yanam zeh ne'mar zachar yisasher salacha ma'alek b'derech b'tzei ischam b'mitzrayim. So it seems like the Chinuch is saying that part of the mitzvah d'arayis of zechira, I think this is very, very important, is Baderech Betzeischa Mimitzrayim. He's making a halachic argument that what you have to remember is that Amalek ruined the spiritual opportunity for the world. The world could have existed at a much higher plane of Yirash Shamayim, and because of what Amalek did, they really ruined that for everybody, right? I'll just note, and we'll talk about this much more on Wednesday, if you accept the doctrine of the Chinuch, it makes a great deal of sense that the battle against Amalek couldn't be won by natural means alone, but how was it won? Right? Vayi Adav Emunah Ad Bo HaShamesh, right? So trying to restore the sense that God is in control of these events. That was the antidote to Amalek. More, like I say, on that idea on Wednesday. Okay. So in any event, that's part of the mitzvah of Zechirah. Zechiras Amalek means that you reflect on how Amalek really ruined Kriyas Yamsuf for the world in some ways. Okay. Misharshei HaMitzvah L'Seis HaLibeinu Shekol HaMitzvah L'Yisrael Sonu L'Kli Hashem Baruch Hu. Right, this is the bridge between Mishalach and, you know, Kiseitze, that those who attack the Jews are, you know, enemies of God. V'chilifi raso v'arimas rav nisko t'yam apalaso v'raso k'mosh atamotzi b'amalek k'ibnei sh'asa ra gedolo l'Yisrael sh'ischol hu l'hazikam. They were the first racious goyim Amalek. Tzivanu baruch hu l'abed zichro minei aretz l'sharei sh'acharav ad kala, that it should be a war of annihilation, etc. And this idea that really is like a war of annihilation, where there's not going to be any remnants, seems to be, you know, the simple pshat in the one instance in Tanakh where we have it, which of course is not in the Chumash itself. There we have a skirmish. There's actually a second skirmish with Amalek in the Chumash. It happens in, you know, Parshas, you know, Chukas, where we have, you know, according to Chazal, the Kanani Melech Harad, and maybe this was the Amaleki. You have this a little bit in the Ma'apilim, Vayakum Vayaktum Adachorma. So they're always popping up. But in terms of, like, you know, a premeditated battle of the Jewish people, the one place that we have it is in Sefer Shmuel, which, as you know, is the Haftorah for Zachar, right? So Vayomer Shmuel, Shal Osi Shalach Adonai Limshachachal Melech Alamol Yisrael, Vayatashma Lekol Divrei Adonai. Kol Amar Adonai Tzvos, Pakati Asher Asa Malik Yisrael, Asher Samlo Baderech, Baloso Mimitzrayim. Interesting. So before there's, you know, any indication of the mitzvah of Mechiyah, there is the mitzvah of Zechirah. The Ramban was Meir at that point in his, you know, Perish al HaTorah, that Zechirah, you know, is always the antecedent to Mechiyah. Very fascinating. Atal Leich v'kisas Amalek v'acharamta miskol asher lo losach mo'alav v'heimesa me'ish ad isha, man, woman, olel v'adyonek, children, shor atzeh gamal v'ad chamor, and even the animals. So the idea that Mechiyas Amalek actually is a war of annihilation seems to be supported by the Psukim in Sefer Shmuel, right? It seems like there's meant to be no survivors, you know, altogether. That is the contention of the Sefer Achinuch, and it seems to be that that's what's rooted, you know, in these Psukim in Sefer Shmuel. Can anybody think for a moment, is there anything like that in halacha of a war of annihilation? Or is Mechiyas Amalek sort of, you know, sui generis that way? Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, so part of the lumdus in this shir is that I think there's a major difference between Milchemes Amalek and the Milchemes Shiva Amamin, in the sheet of the Rambam at least. The Chinuch disagrees, as we'll see, but I'm really glad you mentioned that. So those would be the two candidates because of that mitzvah of hachareim tacharimeim. So if it's really true that Mechiyas Amalek means a war of annihilation, man, woman, child, right? So then maybe there is an analog in terms of Milchemes Shiva Amamin. Okay, maybe. We'll see. That's a very important point. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wonder, because Amalek attacked those that were, you know, the
stragglers.
Stragglers.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the way it seems, right?
But the attackers were men. Why don't we say Amaleki, Avalo, Amalekis?
Yeah, very good. Right. And especially because we have a model for that. Right. What I know you're alluding to it, but you want to make sure. Right. Exactly. Amoni, Velo, Amonis. Right? Exactly. That's, you know, how you get to Rosh Hamavia. Yeah, very good. So I want to talk about that. I think that's a very important perspective. Okay, so you take a look in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So it's really interesting. The sequencing to me is very fascinating. Kuf Pei Ches is Shesivanu Lahachra Zera Malek Bilvad Mishar Zera Esav. We don't do this to any of the other Zera Esav. It's interesting. Zecharim Nekevos Ketanim Ugdolim. So the Rambam seems to endorse this idea of a war of annihilation, right? Man, woman, child. V'hu amor yisala timcha zechra malek. Ukvar kadamlanu, he says the makar is in the Bavli. Shalosh mitzvos nistavu b'nei Yisrael b'chnisas al-aretz. Lindos la-melech, lindos b'esa b'chira, limchos zera malek. U'milchama zo, hi milchames mitzvah. Please make a note of that. Next mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvah is kuf peites. Very fascinating. I would have thought the Rambam should have put it in a different order. Zechira, leading to Mechiyah. Wow. So the Rambam says, the nature of Zechira Samalek is to engender malice and animus towards Amalek to ensure that what they did to us isn't forgotten so that we're prepared to fight against them. Okay. It doesn't become diluted over time. Shmuel, we just made this point, the Rambam noticed it also. How did he introduce the concept of Mechias HaMalek to Shaul? What did he do first? Zachar, right? He reminded him of what they did historically. Okay. So, so it seems to me, the Rambam was after is the following idea, and it leads to a very fascinating discussion that will come to a head in the Ramban in just a moment. I think the reason the Rambam put Zachar, you know, even though, again, it might have been natural to do it before Mechiyah, is that the Rambam thinks that, you know, really the mitzvah is Mechiyah Samalek. Zechira Samalek is a mitzvah, and so far as it serves the interests of Mechiyah. But maybe it's not really such an... it's counted separately for purposes of Taryag. But you have this phenomenon. Some of us were talking about this last week. We all know that, let's say, we had Yisro. So I was talking about this in the Shul in Parsos Yisro. That, you know, we have Losis Ava and Los Achmur. And we know it's Hatayva Mevi Lidei Chimud. But if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, interestingly, the Rambam paskins Los Achmur before Losis Ava, even though, from a chronological standpoint, Taiva always comes before Chimud. So I've made the argument that the Shitas HaRambam, Los Hisava, is really Gzeira Doraisa. We're looking to prevent Los Achmod. So here, I would say the same thing is true, just in the direction of the Mitzvah Saseh. What the Rambam is really after is the idea that the true mitzvah is Mechiyas HaMalek. The problem is, if you don't remember what happened, and you don't force yourself to recall it on a something of a regular basis, what that basis is, we haven't, you know, discussed yet. We'll see if we get there. Then you're not going to be able to carry out the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMalek. So what would the logical conclusion of this be? If this doctrine is really correct, that Zechiras HaMalek is only really a mitzvah in the interests of Mechiyas HaMalek, so then what should logically be true? You might order it that way. I tried to make an argument as to why the Rambam wouldn't have done that. Sometimes I think in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam, you know, presents things substantively. But what would be even more significant? Yeah, right, exactly. So Myron is correct that there'd be no mitzvah, actually, of Zechira Samalek after you achieved Mechiyah Samalek. And the Ramban actually makes that... Right. So again, I'm not so bothered by that for reasons that I'll explain a little bit, because the Rambam has a similar construct in when it comes to Canaan. But believe it or not, the Ramban actually says that. If you take a look at the Ramban in his essay in the ninth source, so the Ramban strongly, strongly, strongly suggests that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, you know, is only really in effect until we achieve Mechia. Then we don't have to go on, you know, telling the story. So take a look here at the ninth source, and we'll come back to eight in just a second. I mean, this is a massive chiddush, but I think of it as, you know, very logical within Shitas HaRambam as well. So the Ramban writes, Zachar is Asher Salacha Amalek, Kvar Yizkarti HaMedrash Shadarshu Bo B'Sifra, Yachav Libcha Shomer Lo Tishkach, Shechas Alev Amura, Mani Mekayim Zachar, Shetei Shonu B'Ficha, V'chein B'Sifrei Zachar is Asher Salacha Amalek B'Peh, V'Lo Tishkach B'Lev, Lo Yadati Mai Zachir Azo B'Peh. So the Ramban says, I'm not sure exactly what it would mean. Im Lomar Shenikra Parshas Amalek B'Tzibor, So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do what we're going to do, not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos. So the Ramban says, I'd prefer to say, Shulomar shel tishkach mashasalanu amalek ad shenimche shemo mitachas hashamayim. That until when are we mechuyav in the mitzvah of zechira? Only until we achieve the mitzvah of mechiyas amalek. It's an amazing idea. But I think it's a logical conclusion from the Rambam as well. Okay, and then the coup de grace, I think what makes, you know, this absolutely clear, the Rambam says it, but then he goes on to say, and he says, and that's why we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam. You know why we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Miriam? Zachar Yisrael Sashal Kachal Miriam, so that we remember not to speak Lashon Hara. So why do we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? So that we remember to perform the mitzvah of Mechia. So apparently, even though the Inyan Taryag, they're counted as separate mitzvos, really the mitzvah is Mechias Amalek. Zechira is a handmaiden to that. It's a way of ensuring that over time, you know, the feelings don't abate. Because what happens is, you know, over time, people say, you know, it's all water under the bridge. Let bygones be bygones. How long, you know, are we going to hold on to this grudge? So the Rambam Lashitaso, and then I'll get to, you know, Devin in just a second. I think the Rambam's Lashon, in his formulation of the Lo Saseh, of Lo Tishkach, really makes this clear as well. Okay, so we have this Sifrei that we've encountered many times. So what's the difference between Zachar Repel, Lo Tishkach Balev? Well, what does that even mean? Lo Tishkach Balev. Does that mean like you have to be in an ambient state of awareness of what Amalek did to you at all times? And if not, you're an Isser D'oraisa? I mean, that's like a little hard to believe. You have people walking around, you know, all day long, you know, reflecting on, you know, the historical, you know, problems we have with Amalek. I mean, that would be shocking that the Torah could require such a thing. So the Rambam said, nonsense. That's absolutely not what the Torah required. But the Torah did require something very important. And the lashon here is critical. He's hiranu mishchoach mashasol nerzerag amalek v'igdimo lahazik lanu. So what does that mean? Kvar biyanu mitzvah kuf peites mitzvah says lizkor mashasol ner amalek ulechadish sinaso. We have to always renew that animus, as we explained before, the Rambam l'shitaso, because the whole point is to be able to be prepared to fight a war of annihilation. V'chein anach nemuzharin. This is now the los haseh. Mehashlich zamili benu. What a fascinating formulation. Umishchoach oso. So what's the Isser D'oraisa? Sort of to try to actively forget. There's only one analog that I can think of this in the world of halacha, which is the Mishnah Perkei Avos, which talks about the Isser D'oraisa of Shichchas HaTorah. It says, Rak Yisham L'cha Shmurnash Chamod P'tishkach Chazdvar Masharo Inecha Ufen Yasur Mavavcha Koyimei Chayacha. So there, the Mishnah quotes the name of Reb Meir. I'm Reb Dustai, Bishem Reb Yane, Bishem Reb Meir. Koshachech davar echad Mishnah, so malav kasav kilu mischayev benafsho. That forgetting your limud haTorah is like an iser misa bidei shamayim. So the Mishnah says, well, let's say you're not Chacham Ovadia Yosef. You can't remember everything that you ever saw Baal Peh. You know, yachol takfalav Mishnah. So this mean a person forgets, you know, something they heard in the BMT, you know, their chiyav misa bidei shamayim. It's going to, you know, that's going to depress attendance. Nobody's going to want to come. So the Mishnah says, no, because the Pasuk says, ufen yasum mavavcha ad sheyeshev v'yisireim milibo. It's like, you're, you know, you're actively dissociating yourself from this. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's what it means. The law of what we say that, you know, lo sishkach is balev, it means that a person is not allowed to come along and say, I don't care. This happened so long ago, it's insane, you know, a war of annihilation over something that happened in a desert, you know, a number of millennia ago. Forget about it. You know, let's worry about Iran or somebody else. You know, so that is the Isser. Right? And again, it's totally consistent. The Rambam Lashitaso in terms of what Zechira is. We have to be, this is his language, Mechadesh Sunaso. We have to reaffirm our commitment to this. There's another mitzvah that's hanging in the balance here, which is Mechiyas Amalek. Go ahead. Yeah, I just want to be very, very careful about this because I think this has been, there's a point that does get misconstrued. If we have time at the end, see how we're doing on time. I'd like to come back to it as well. We should be very, 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 I don't know if people know Rav David Cohn. Rav David Cohn is an important posek in Brooklyn. He always emphasizes this point, and I feel very strongly about it, especially as somebody who's, you know, mi talmide talmide shalah rav. The rav always quoted in the name of his father that, you know, implacable enemies of the Jewish people, you know, are in a certain sense Amalek. But he absolutely never meant that. Moshe Soloveitchik never meant that in an actionable kind of a way, you know, that, you know, we should start annihilating people, man, woman, and child. I want to be very, you know, clear about that point because there are people who ascribe to Moshe Soloveitchik, you know, horrible things that have been done and said, oh, you know, it's mutter midin or mechuyav midin mechiyas amalek. So I just want to be very careful that nobody gets that impression for what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was going to make Rabbi. That point that, you know, to kill anybody that's manadeh based on amalek, on the mitzvah.
Right. It's so completely,
untenable.
Totally untenable. Yes. You have no right to say that. Yes, Aaron, go ahead. And I'm going to repeat the question for the benefit of those.
I think there's a problem with the Ramban's approach that once you've achieved Mechia,
there's no longer a din of Zechira, right?
Mechira, and maybe I'm mixing and matching here, but we said earlier that Amalek ruined the spiritual opportunity. World.
Yes.
Now, have others that come and achieve or try to achieve that same goal of, you know, making it back for the rest of the world. I mean, we probably used too many instances of that. So, from a standpoint of being wary of that type of unfolding of events, maybe there's still a point in remembering, let's say,
totally, yeah, Aaron, I totally agree with you. Just to repeat what Aaron was saying is that you don't have to make the assumption that the mitzvah of Zechira is such a handmaiden to the mitzvah of Mechia. The Rambam and the Ramban clearly did make that assumption, but you don't have to make that assumption, especially in light of what we said before, that there's this idea that there was a spiritual opportunity that Kriyas Yamsuf represented. Namogu Kol Yoshek. And I remember Rachav Hazona, 40 years later, is still talking about it as if it happened yesterday. It was a pretty powerful moment. So maybe there's something to be said for remembering that. So Baruch Shekibanta, you should know, Aaron, the Minchas Chinuch says exactly what you said in Hebrew. So he thinks the same thing. He's not convinced of their doctrine either. Okay. So I want to do a little bit of lamdas right now because I think this point has been, you know, pretty dramatically overlooked. And David, it dovetails with what I said before about how, you know, really, you know, scandalous things have been ascribed to, you know, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that I think are truly impossible. You know, in terms of the lamdus of Mechiyas Amalek. And this gets back to the point that was raised about what exactly is the relationship between Milchamesh Sheva Amamin and Mechiyas Amalek. Those are, you know, in some sense, we would think of them as logical candidates to evaluate together because they're both milchamos mitzvah, and everybody agrees to that. But I'd like to try to suggest, l'shitas HaRambam, that there's a very powerful distinction between the two, which should, you know, make the point that we were just discussing, the actionability of Mechiyas HaMalek, a non-starter. So you take a look again in the Sefer HaMitzvos, so the Rambam quoted that when it comes to the din of Mechiyas HaMalek, it's based on a Gemara, Shalosh Mitzvos Nitztavu Yisrael B'Shas Knisas L'Aretz, Lindos LaMelech, Livnos Beis HaBechira, and Limchos Zera HaMalek. Okay, that's the Brisa. We all know that Brisa. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Not everybody paskins that way. The Ibn Ezra doesn't paskin that way. The Abravanel doesn't paskin that way. But the Rambam does paskin, right? This Brisa, both in terms of Melech and Binin Beis HaBechira, etc. So if you look with me at the Sefer HaChinuch says something that I find to be a very strange and questionable doctrine. The Sefer HaChinuch argues that the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMalek has a dual nature to it. It's both a chovas hatzibur as well as a chovas hayachid. That is to say, it applies to Klal Yisrael generally, and it applies to Effie, and it applies to Tom, and it applies to Fred, and it applies to Michal, it applies to each individual as well. It applies to all of us. The Chinuch literally says this, Shenitzavino limcho zara shalom, alik labid zichro min olam, Zachar keva gadol katan zanemar timcha zecher amalek shebichal zecher hu akol kvartav b'nikutev azo gadol hador v'hu Yoav ben Tsruya. This is the Gemara Bavasra chafalof from the base. He only killed the men because his Rebbe, who according to one, you know, Ika de Amre in the Gemara, he then killed his Rebbe over this, which is kind of scary for people who are involved in education because his Rebbe told him timcha zachar amalek and not timcha zecher amalek. So according to the one mandamar, he let his Rebbe go. According to the second mandamar, Baba Basra Chafal from the Beis, he killed his Rebbe. Okay, that's a colorful and interesting story. Vizos mina mitzvos, a few lines down, Amutalo salatzibur kulan, Uchinin shamar zichron levracha, shalosh mitzvos stavis lo b'shas k'nisas l'aretz, lindos l'melech, livnos l'beis ha-bechir, l'achre zeresh ha-melech. Uve emes, ki gamo kol yachan mi'israel, zuchare mutal achiv l'hargam la'obda mina olam, Im yeshkoch biyadu mikol makum b'chol zman, im yatzei echad b'chol zaram, ve'over al zeh, ubal liyadu echad b'zerach ha-melech, v'yesh sipik biyadu l'harago, v'l'harago b'tel ase zeh. So the Chinuch, for reasons that I don't understand, argued that despite the fact that the source is clearly a chovas hatzibur, shalosh mitzvos yistavu yisrael b'shas k'nisas l'aretz, I know of no clearer gemara than that in terms of establishing a chovas hatzibur. You know, does anybody think that Nehemiah has a personal obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash or to appoint a king? Of course not. It's a Chovas HaTzibur. So the Sefer HaChinuch is moda that the Gemara establishes a Chovas HaTzibur. And then he came up with this idea that there's a parallel Chovas HaYachid. I have no idea how he came up with that idea, especially because my reading of the Rambam is exactly the opposite. So if you take a look in the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Hei, and of course, it makes a huge difference, David, for the point that we're discussing. You know, if it's a chovas hatzibur, it's not actionable for any yachid. Okay, it means that only Klal Yisrael as a whole. That's why you have a navi telling the melech to implement this. So, if you take a look at the Rambam, in a melech nochem tchila melchames mitzvah veizoi melchames mitzvah. What's a melchames mitzvah? That's melchames sheva amimin, the indigenous nations of Canaan, and melchames Amalek. Right, via Ezra Sisomi at Sarship Alehem, so whatever that means exactly, wars of self-defense. This is a controversial line in the Rambam. Milchemes mitzvah, Eno Tzarech Litol Ba Rishos Bezdin, El Yotze Miatzim Bukhales, Vekova Amlat Zeis, Milchemes Rishos Eno Motziam Boal Alpi Bezdin, Velshim Be'echad, right? You know, he doesn't have unchecked war powers. So then the Rambam says, okay, he gets into the details. Mitzvah Ase Lahachrim Shiva Amimin, Shinemar Hacharim Tacharimim. It's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to annihilate the indigenous nations of Canaan. V'chol shebal liyado echad mehen v'lo harago over below taseh shenem lo sechaya kol neshama. So there the Rambam is very clear that there's a chovas hayachid. Lo sechaya kol neshama means that each individual has a responsibility. If we could actually identify, you know, a chiti, a chivi, a yivusi, more on that in just a minute. Okay. Then the Rambam says, uchvar avad zichram, but we don't have them anymore. V'chein mitzvah aseh la'abed zechra malik, shenem artimcha zechra malik, Mitzvos Asi Lizkor Tamid Masav Aron Vareva. So Kedei Laoreva. So this is exactly what we said in the Sefer Mitzvos, that Zechira is Mita'am Mechia. It's clear. There's no debate about it. Shenamar Zachor Yisachar Salacham Malik. Mipi Hashmo Lamdu Zachor Repelos Ishkach Balev. Sha'asu Lishkach Evasa Vesinasa. I think the silence in the Rambam speaks volumes. The Rambam has nothing that would tell you that there's a chovas hayachid when it comes to Amalek. Myron, go ahead.
By the very fact that he says that you can't forget about it, I mean, his phrase is, yiskor tamid masav, what is it?
Because we have to be prepared for the milchames hatzibur. Right.
That doesn't sound like a communal...
No, of course, but that means that we all have to be ready. Yeah, of course.
That may be the mantra for the Chibur Achino.
I think the Rambam is just coming off having said that by Milchemes Shiva Amamin there's a Chovas Hayachid.
Because you don't think that Milchama is an individual responsibility. That's why he has to.
So why doesn't he say the same thing by Amalek?
No, that's why you have to specify it. But once he tells you that the Milchama against the Canaanim is not only communal, but also individual, and then he goes on to say, right, with Amalek, you can't even forget it in your heart.
Right.
Which is not a rule for the Canaanim. No one says you have to be protecting the Canaanim in your heart all the time. In fact, you have to, that an individual has that responsibility means, you know.
Yeah. So okay. So we agree to disagree. I think it's an ikar chaser minat sefer for the Rambam to expect that. But the good news is, you know, I'm not alone. The Agos Maimonios read the Rambam exactly the same way. He said Amalek is different, and he says mitzvah no heges ad yimosa mashiach achar kibush aretz. And he says there because you look at the psukim, it's obvious. Vayaba niach Hashem lokech lecha mikol yivach misaviv. So this is exactly what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said as well. People always, you know, forget this. The people who are looking to use Rav Moshe Soloveitchik as an excuse to carry out whatever their political agenda is. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in addition to saying that there was some non-actionable idea that Amalek are the implacable enemies of the Jewish people, is said many, many, many times. And the Rav quoted this many times also, that the din of Mechias Amalek is only, like the Gaos Maimonides says, Yimos HaMashiach, when you have a melech, and there's the capacity to have a milchemes hatzibur. That's not a din in the yachid. So again, the Sefer HaChinuch I find to be quite tamua, that he would say such a thing. Myron likes it, which is good. Yeah, it's what Milchamta Shel Torah is all about. That's also Milchames Mitzvah. But I think that there's a major and profound difference in the Lamdus, you know, in terms of Milchames Amalek versus Milchames Shiva Amamin. Now, this, I think, you know, brings us to a very critical point. Sometimes we think, you know, it's a little bit of hubris, that in the 21st century, or it used to be in the 20th century, that like we have unique moral sensitivities and sensibilities, that we're the first people to think of, you know, moral difficulties. So, you know, well, one of the questions that every thinking person has is if the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, you know, is really like this war of annihilation, you know, what did a two-week-old baby ever do, right? Any moral person would have that question. So the good news is, it's not like we thought of that question. It's a Farish Gemara. So the Bavli says in Yuma, Daf Chaf Beis, the Pasuk in Shmuel, Vayarev Banachal, that Shaul HaMelech was very bothered. He didn't want to have to carry this out. And he was really, you know, bothered by this idea of like, you know, war of annihilation against Amalek. So that just to read this Gemara, so Rav Mani al Iske Nachal, this is 14th source here. B'shashem Rekodesh Baruch Hu L'Shaul Leich Mikisas Amalek. So Shaul was uncomfortable. Ma Nefesh Achas Amr Torah, you know, Havei Egla Rufa, it becomes this national scene. Kol Nefashos Halalu Alachas Kama V'Chama. So it's like, you know, very uncomfortable. V'im Adam Machata, V'Heim Machata, right? V'im Gidolim Machatu, K'tanim Machatu. It's not like we thought of this question. So Yatzabaskal Vamrlo Alti Tzadikarbe. This is Xera Sakasa, the Torah requires it. Don't, you know, try to be more righteous than the Torah. The irony, of course, was, as the Gemara goes on to point out, you know, Shaul, Mr. Humanity and ethics, you know, when he annihilated totally unjustifiably the Nov Ir HaKohanim, you know, Bishash Amrlo Shaul Adoeg, Sovata Pigabi Kohanim. Yatzabaskov Amrlo Al Tir Shaharbe. In other words, you know, you thought you were more righteous than God. Apparently, when it serves your political interests, you're perfectly capable of, you know, killing, you know, many, many innocent people. That being said, I do think it's important to point out, both for halachic and moral reasons, that the Rambam was of the view that there is an alternative, in my view, a highly preferable alternative, to a war of annihilation. And this point is often, all too often, overlooked. The Rambam, as we know, has a threefold definition of milchemes mitzvah. Milchemes amalek, milchemes sheva amamin, and Ezra Yisrael miyad tsar shebaleim, wars of self-defense. Okay, Vichensin Zatzal made the point of saying that not everything that Zahal does is a milchemes mitzvah. We should be very careful about application of this, you know, to the modern day and age. But, you know, in concept, wars of national self-defense can be, you know, according to the Rambam, milchemes mitzvah. All right. So the Rambam says the following: Einosin milchamim adam ba'olam ad shekorin lo shalom. Echad milchemes rishos ve'echad milchemes mitzvah. The Rambam says you never go to war unless you offer peace. And that applies not only to milchemes rishos, which appears to be Shitas Rashi, but that applies to milchemes mitzvah. So milchemes mitzvah would include Amalek. What's that?
How does the Rambam know that?
Yeah, that's what the Ravid wanted to know. Yeah. That's a big chiddush. The pasuk says, Ki sikrav el ir lilachem aleha v'karase leha l'shalom. Rashi says, Mechames ha-reshos akasu v'daber. The Rambam is saying that it applies to Amalek also. And then the Rambam goes on, you know, with what the criterion are, which is beyond their scope. And then he says, and if they accept it, they accept it. V'asu l'shakei v'brisam l'chazev lehem achar sheishlimu v'kiblu sheva mitzvos. Then, a few passages later, the Rambam says, just in case you missed it the first time, and if they don't accept it, so then you could have a war. If it's a milchemes rishos, so you kill the soldiers and you, you know, the non-combatants are protected. Aval sheva amin v'amalek shelo hishlimu. If they don't make peace, right, in manichim mehem neshama. Then it becomes a war of annihilation. Fine. So the Ravid, apropos your point of it, says this is all a shibush. So it's a big mistake. And he says, you know, the only way for him to make sense of any of this was if somebody, you know, like converted. So it's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah. That's a shibush. El sheyach lomar hishlumu lekabel hamitzvos. So the Ravid was very bothered by this doctrine of the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah justifies the Rambam. That is what he came to do. And the Kesef Mishnah says the following: Tamal Amar Shivami Bamalek Avbi Sheishlimu Bratz Kabbali Amas Vavdus Harginus Amal Shav Shalitan Bad Rabbeinu. So he says, I can defend the Rambam. Vilomar Shevichlal Hishlimu Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvos. They didn't have to convert to Judaism. Shim Kibu Aleim Sheva Mitzvos. This is refrigerator material. Okay. Hare Yatsu Michal Shiva Amamin, U Michal Amalek, Vahare Heim Kibne Noah Haksherim. So the Kesef Mishnah thinks that the din of Mechias Amalek, as well as the din of Hachareim Tachrimeim, doesn't require war of annihilation. The actual preference, Lashitas HaRambam, in Osin Melchamei Madam Ba'olam, so what's the preferred method of Mechias Amalek? Is that they'll surrender being part of Amalek. So how do you renounce your status as a member of Amalek? You renounce your commitment to, you know, a life of violence. You're mekabel l'sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. And, you know, we clear you of the chalos shem Amalek. So there's no absolute requirement of a war of annihilation against anybody. Not Amalek, and not the Shiva Amamin. That was the Shita of the Rambam. So, again, it is true that if they won't accept it, so then there's a war of annihilation. So this is, again, there are moral questions that are, you know, come up from that. But I think it's important that people should be armed with this knowledge that it's not as if, you know, the Torah mandated al kol panim that we have to, you know, have a system of going around and, you know, hunting down men, women, and children. They're according to the Kesef Mishnah. This is not like, you know, an esoteric authority. This is Rav Yosef Karo, and it's clear Lashitas HaRam. Even the Ravid says, you know, they could convert out of it, which is clear enough. But for the Rambam, you know, it goes well beyond that. And I think that's an important point. And I just wanted to conclude that that seems to me, anyway, to be particularly persuasive based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin that we saw in the very beginning. Remember, the Gemara and Sanhedrin says, you know, how did we get ourselves into this mess entirely, right? Like, you know, what were the origins of the Amalek story? Like, and so it tells a story of, you know, people who, this woman, right, Timna, who was a Pilegesh Alifaz, Ben Esav, and she wanted to join. She wanted, but again, this was not, you know, Taryag mitzvos. She wanted to join, you know, the family of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. She wanted to be part of a moral society. And they rejected her unfairly, right? Lo yibaylu l'rachka. So it's poetic justice in the end that there should be a way of, you know, dealing with Amalek that doesn't require this implacable opposition to them. But there's a way of, you know, bringing them in. Bringing them in, you know, if you're the Raven means like, you know, all the way. Nichnas tachas kanvei ashchina. The Ram doesn't require that. He just says, you know, it's enough. They should be megayer to be gerei toshav. You know, the Ram considers that to be a form of giur in its own right. So I'd like to just conclude by tying it all together. You know, I think for the Rambam, it's very important to note that the story, you know, of our battle against Amalek is really a national story, what I call Chovas HaTzipur. And it's very important that individuals, you know, identify with that national mission, hence the Issa D'Oraisa of Lahashlich Evaso V'Sinasa Milibeinu, and to remember, you know, in an ongoing way. I think it's also a very beautiful thing. The Minchas Chinuch raises this as a discussion, but the more that you believe what I'm saying, that for the Rambam, it's all based on this Chovas HaTzibur, that Minag Yisrael is actually to practice the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek B'Tzibur. You know, obviously, if people can't make it to Shul, you know, so they can read Parsha Zachor out of a Chumash, these are Kiyumim. But why do we do it as a Tzibur? I think it reflects the idea that it really is, you know, part of this Chovas HaTzibur. It doesn't inhere in the individual. And then, if that's true, I think the back end becomes very beautiful. Like, there is no... I remember, just to conclude with an anecdote, then turn it over to Rabbi Angel. I remember being... this is, like, my first year in Smicha, and I don't know how it came up exactly. It wasn't like we were learning Sota, so I guess, you know, we were off topic. But at our table, this is in the old base metric in YU. So, you know, having this... you know, it's like a couple of charuses at a table... And this guy opposite us, very nice guy, by the way, was saying that, you know, he would gladly, you know, drown a two-week-old Amalekite in a bathtub. And he was very upset that I wasn't willing to sign on to that. He says, you know, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, machiyas Amalek. And I quoted this Kesef Mishnah, and I said, well, you know, I would prefer that they would, you know, become gerei toshav, you know, rather than have to go through with it. You know, that would be my preference, the Rambam's preference as well. And, you know, I wasn't sure that he was familiar with the Kesef Mishnah, but, you know, at least it got me out of the hot water at the moment. But in the final analysis, what it really reflects is this idea is that, you know, we have another way, and that we should all, I think, hope, you know, that, you know, this historic struggle between Klal Yisrael and Amalek will be resolved not by, you know, violence, but as the Rambam says, that at first we have to make an appeal to peace and to hope that they can appreciate the value of the mitzvos b'nei Noach, and in doing so, they would have done a national tshuva. Because after all, Reishis Goyim Amalek, if their great sin was that there's a historic opportunity after Kriyas Yamsuf, Namogu, Kol Yoshua, Kanan, the whole world could have come to Yirah Shamayim, and they ruined that. Maybe they can correct that. La'asid lavo, they can abandon their ways. They can embrace at least the fundamentals of monotheism, the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And if the Kesef Mishnah is correct, the Shitas HaRambam, Kvar Yatzu Michal Amalek V'Harei Heim Kivnei Noach HaKshirim. So